can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be bright.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Live, Laugh, and Be You radio show on the very fabulous radio station BBS. Woohoo! My name is Audra Lynette. I'm your host. And joining me today is the wonderful Lynn Lazowski. Hello, Lynn.
Hello.
in Kansas
I still can't do that. I'm still in training how to blow the room that.
There's a 14-year-old little girl, that 14-month-old little girl that I get to take care of now and again, and she is practicing as well, and she's almost got it down to a
thank you very much, Audrey, for that. Thank you.
That
a 14-month-old can get it down, and I'm still working on it.
Every little bit counts.
I know it. So where are we going today, and what are we doing?
Well, the topic of today is laughter, the best medicine, and because we started off pretty easily with a bit of that, shake it up. Yeah, hello.
We never lack being able to laugh.
Yes, thank goodness. However, it wasn't always that way,
no.
And so through the show today, we can talk about other ways to get you motivated and laughing, if that's something you desire. And from my point of view, especially with my body, it's been something that I required to access again so that I could have more ease.
Yes.
And how does it get me better than that? What else is possible? So I've jumped straight into how does it get me better than that? What else is possible? So, yeah. Laughter. How many of us have actually enjoyed the benefit of laughter?
Well, I have, for one.
Yay! How does it get any better than that? And that's what I love about you and I. Whenever we get there, no matter how serious the conversation can get or how serious whatever it is you're doing, and I consider sticking a hose where it's required for a colonic, is pretty
serious. We're going there again today, aren't we?
Well, it's a follow-up from last week. I mean, hello,
yes,
talking
yes.
about colonics. So we're like, how do we follow up on that radio show?
Yes. If you can't find humor in everything, then it's kind of doom time, really.
It is. And, yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about this. And it's really cute because you know how we talk a lot about the access tools and how the tools are inviting you to have a different possibility, but also inviting you to have an interesting point of view about points of view, decisions, or judgments that you may have made in your life. And if you're able to look at them with humor or to look at them with ease and laugh your way free of them, a lot of the time that which is sticking you can shift.
Yes, and it shifts very easily sometimes.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the beauty of it. I've been amazed how many times something is serious. My husband is a great one. Whenever he's taking himself too seriously, and I'll start to process, and he goes, honey, just laugh at me. Just laugh. And I'll say, okay, honey, that's really funny you chose to make that decision. Isn't that funny? And then he just starts to laugh. He goes, well, yes. He said, it was really serious, though, and I really had to work hard. And before long, he's starting to not take himself so seriously. And then I've been able to slip in the process or ask the question or may, and he makes the change really, really quickly.
Yes.
Did you like that little mix that I shared on there?
Yes, yes.
It's a benefit of that.
Sometimes I have clients coming in and they are just so down, and we'll get on the table and I'll start just laughing about something, or I'll say something, and they'll crinkle up their forehead like, my problem is serious, and you can't make me laugh about my problem, and then all of a sudden they start relaxing, and then they're laughing. and the problem doesn't seem so daunting anymore. And then they're willing to share it. And my husband has always taught me a problem shared is a problem cut in two. So, you know, I usually don't give them anything back on it. They just want a set of ears to listen. And then they go off and they're happy and they're like, wow, it's going to be a good day, isn't it? I'm like, you betcha. So,
yeah, it really is. And I realized that, like, I woke up this morning and was like, oh, the radio show, laughter today. And I went, whoa, it's serious.
Yeah.
And the day felt really, really serious. And I went, okay, so what would it take to have a joyful day and a playful day and a day filled with laughter and to shift this energy around? And I kept walking around and went, what am I going to talk about? What's of value that I can share? And I was like, wow, it just kept getting more serious. And I was like, okay, I have to let this go. And what will it take to just be fun? And I went outside for a bit and I walked around and I started to laugh. As soon as I took my attention off the thing that was worrying me or I was trying to figure out, as soon as I took my attention off that, you know, tension sounds like a tension.
Mm-hmm.
I took my attention off something, I just started to giggle. And I realized that it's not about the thing that you say or the thing that you have to do or even the act. If you're willing to change, if you're willing to take your attention off something, something else can show up.
You know, Audrey, there's an being Native American as I am, I've learned a lot of Native American things. However, mm-hmm. one of the things that Native Americans teach you is if you stub your toe, then you hit your thumb. You don't know which one to put your attention on, so neither one of them hurt.
Yeah. Oh, that explains a lot of our conversations sometimes.
I know. Oh, yep. Some days I don't know what to laugh about. I have so many things to laugh about. It's like, take a number and start choosing. And it just, I guess it's just a choice. You can either get up and be Mr. Grumpy and find no humor in anything, or you can get up and choose to find humor in everything and really be willing to laugh at yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan. That's where I'm hoping to take us to today a little bit, Lynn. I'm so glad you said that. Because if you're willing to laugh with yourself, you can take the negative energy that you've put on laughter about yourself away and have more joy.
Yes.
And the other thing that you just said there, it's like it's a choice to wake up grumpy or to wake up happy. And one of the things we talk about, and I'm really happy that I heard this from Gary years and years ago, is that when laughter and joy, there's like a hair between the two of them. Laughter and sadness.
Yes.
Joy and sadness, there's a hair between the two of them. So a lot of the time now these days when something's happening and I'm crying, I'll just perceive, what will it take to turn this to laughter? And all of a sudden these tears turn into laughter and it shifts the energy dynamically. So even in the middle of it, where you may be going from sadness, you can flip it to joy just by having the choice to change it. So how many times have you ever been crying so hard and then you can't stop laughing?
Yes.
And then nobody can tell whether you're laughing or crying?
They're like, she's doing something. I don't know what. I know coming in this morning, I was a little sad coming in, and I got into the office, and I pulled up the internet. And I know, you know, this here
Uh-oh.
Is a story about a woman dentist whose boyfriend came to her after they broke up to fix this tooth that he was in such pain. She was so pissed off at him, she gave him a heavy anesthesia and took out every one of his teeth.
Oh, no.
And he woke up and he thought it was funny that he couldn't feel his teeth. And she said, oh, it's just because I gave you so much anesthesia, you'll be fine. And she had his head wrapped like in gauze so he couldn't open his mouth.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting here reading this, And Aaron's like, oh, wow. And I am laughing so hard. I'm just visualizing this man looking in the mirror going, oh, my God, and having no teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I know some people might be sitting there going, oh, my God, is she sick? Finding humor in that. But, you know,
it
is what it is.
The point that you make, though, honey, most people at some point in their lives, how many of us out there have actually been told when we're laughing that we're stupid, we're wrong, to stop that?
Oh, yes.
What are you on? And quit that.
Yeah. Whatever you're smoking, I want some of it. I'm like, are you for real? Come on.
Well, some people say that, but a lot of the time, how many of you have actually been judged for laughing?
Many times.
Yeah.
Especially when you're raised by the nuns.
Yeah.
They have nothing to laugh about, so you have nothing to laugh about. And if you find something to laugh about, God help you.
Well, see, the thing is like you're getting judged for being laughter. It's the best way to control energy. Because you notice how whenever you're laughing, there's no control of energy. It's just, it's all over the place. You can't stop laughing. The energy keeps moving. Everything gets lighter. And sooner or later, if you continue to laugh, people let go and are unable to actually hold on to their judgments.
Yes.
So one of the best ways to stop change or one of the like or to take control of situations is to tell people to stop laughing. And a lot of the time people do that by judging, by saying stop that, quit that. And how many times in your lifetime have you had that, and how many times everybody out there have you been judged for moving energy, for changing, for choosing something different, or just plain laughing at something that was serious to someone else but was just the energy moving?
Yes, like the man losing all his teeth. To him it was serious. To me it cracked me right up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So all those judgments, all those decisions, all those conclusions that you have come to that's kept you from allowing that energy to just burst forth and come out, will you let all that go now?
I sure will.
I'm
answering for everyone.
Thank you. And return it all to where it came from with consciousness attached so that they can have the awareness that it's okay to laugh as well. And just let go of all those judgments to allow yourself and your energy to move and shift and be available to you. Thank you, right, wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. And you notice how I just said be available to you. It's like how many times, Lynn, have you felt so much better and had more available energy to you when you've had a hysterical fit of laughter?
Well, that happened yesterday after our little talk.
Really? No.
Yes, you know, and I got off the phone and I just felt like I had a whole breath of fresh air and got everything. You move that energy and you rearrange it and you get a different perspective on things and it gets explained to you in logical different terms. And I'm telling you, it just amazes me how fast I can turn it around and not be at effect.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Not be at the effect of what significance or judgment or even the decisions that you're making that you may have made significant. And it's any time you come to an answer or a conclusion. For instance, if you focus on something. And what was happening was Lynn was focusing on something that she couldn't figure out and understand, and it made her sad. And so she started to try and look clear it and was processing it. And all that was occurring was more sadness and more awareness, and it wasn't getting a chance to shift. So I got on the phone, and I think I said something really silly, and she looked. If you could hear, you know that this is how I know when you quit doing it, is you stop and it's like the energy, you're looking at me going, what did you just say?
Yeah. It's usually WTF. Like, what? And then it just starts rolling in.
Yeah. Yeah. You've taken your attention off the tension that you're putting on something, the significance. Your attention's taken off, and the energy can start moving again. And it really doesn't matter what you say to get that going. I think I might have asked for something silly or something totally off the wall, which I'm apt to
do. Oh, no, you never do that.
Well, it's so funny to see you. It's like, I may not be able to see you, but it's like your head goes, huh?
Huh?
What did you just say? And it's moved through again. And the beauty of the potency of that is that now there's more energy available to you, and there's more awareness around you. Have you ever noticed that if you just get the picture, when you're focusing on one thing at one point, you know, when you put your head down and you're doing your paperwork and you're just writing your notes, there's all this other stuff going on around you, but you've got your hand and your eyes focused on the page, so intent on what you're doing, that what happens is we tend to start to let go of the awareness of what else is available around us, which is similar to what we're talking about receiving everything that the universe has to offer. We start to close our mind off to the possibilities and focus on the sadness or focus on the problem rather than taking our tension off of it and perceiving what else is around us that may be more available to us. So it's a similar thing with the laughter. It's like if you're putting your attention on the sadness, if you're putting the attention on the problem, and you're getting so serious as you focus, if you change your focus or shift your perspective, even shift what you're doing, get up and move around, it can shift the energy. So it's like, what would it be like in those moments to be able to have a different perspective? Even ask yourself a question, like I did this morning, what would it take to turn this to laughter? What would it take to turn this to laughter? And when you do that, asking the question opens up the possibility, who knows, you might just start thinking of something really funny. You might move your head and look to the side and see, I've seen some of the funniest things I've seen are in nature. You know, nature's one of the funniest and most lighthearted things, as well as the most serious at times as well. However, have you ever seen something funny happen? The other night I was having a serious conversation with a friend, being the space, serious, which means we weren't laughing hysterically, we were clearing something, and I heard this noise and this raccoon come running out of the bushes. And
a raccoon, yeah.
And I turned the lights on, and the cat that was fighting with it got to escape. But then the raccoon turned around and pulled the funniest face. This was like, I know you can't see it. This is radio. It's not visual. But his tail went all bushy, and he was in the spotlight of the lights, and his face went on. And he did this little tap dance in front of the lights, and I was like, wow, you're one pissed off raccoon right now, but you look really funny.
Yeah.
It did. It was like watching a show, a stage show. He did his little tap dance forward and back, and then he thought, okay, I'm going to get off the stage now, and he sorted off. But I couldn't stop laughing. We completely forgot the seriousness of what we were talking about or the processing we were talking about. And I had another wonderful visual to capture to share with you now of the funny things that are out there. Even though he was really upset, it looked really funny.
Yes. You know? The raccoons make me laugh every morning. We live out on 14 acres, so we have lots of raccoons. However, I have four of them who now know exactly what time the back door opens up and that the two cats are going to get fed, and they mm-hmm. actually sit at the edge on their hind legs with their hands folded like, you know, a Buddha, just mm-hmm. waiting for me, and they will actually let me pour food right in front of them, mm-hmm. sit very patiently, and start eating. Cracks me up every morning.
That cracks me up, you going out and feeding them.
Well, I really don't have a choice, because mm-hmm. if I don't feed them over there, they will come and steal all the food that I put out for the cats. So
I love it.
I put
it's
them. Yeah. And, you know, David used to always say to me, Lynn, it's like you were negotiating with the United Nations out here. And I'm talking to him. I'm like, okay, guys, you know the rules. Here's your little pile. You leave my cats alone. If not, I'm going to have to pop you. And I know neither one of us want that. So you stay here and blah, blah, blah. And they're just chitter-chattering right back to me. And Dave just cracks up and says, whatever.
It works, though. I'm surprised. You are in the middle of nowhere and with everything available to you in nature, and they all let each other be. It's
yes.
Truly lovely.
Because they follow the rules. I set definite rules out, and they follow them, and they leave my cats alone.
How does it get any better than that? It was while you were talking, and I was thinking of all the times that people have actually gotten into trouble for being naughty. You know, remember when you were a kid and you were really, really, really naughty, and it's just you'd been so good for so long that all of a sudden you just blew it because you couldn't sit any longer. You couldn't control yourself or your energy any longer. So you did something totally wicked or totally funny or totally disrupt the energy and had everybody laughing a lot of the time, and they just couldn't contain themselves anymore.
Yep, know that one well.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that happen in class all the time where people are focusing and all of a sudden somebody will say something funny and the whole class will turn into laughter, or one of the kids will do something really silly or say a one-liner and the whole room just starts off with a little snigger, and before long it's contagious and infectious and it's just throughout the whole room. And they are some of the most dynamic shifts in energy just by that eruption of laughter and change. And why I'm bringing it up, it's like how many of you have actually made yourself wrong for being so naughty or for just wanting to disrupt the energy or shifting it some way, somehow. You know, in a restaurant when it's really serious and you just can't hold yourself back and you start laughing. I haven't yet been kicked out of a restaurant for laughing too loud. However, I have had friends who have been kicked out of restaurants in Poland and different places just because the disruption is too much. But what if it was okay to be that lovingly disruptive and not make yourself wrong for it? The thing I'm going for is any way you've made yourself wrong. Because wrongness is a surefire way to hold you back or stop you from being you.
Yes. And this world does not support that very well. They support people being quiet or sullen or, you know, getting into the trauma drama and all that. And, you know, kids are always being punished for acting out in school or finding something funny. And everything is the opposite of what it should be, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody should have fun.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of the time, even the word fun, it's like how many of you actually have a sense of what would be fun for you? Fun, we talk about it a lot in the access is fun is like going to theme parks and lining up for 40 minutes to get on a ride. And how often have you looked at what would be fun for you, but really not been sure what that is? So even fun has a funny connotation to it, doesn't it? It's like, what would be fun for you? Sagar, my husband, when he first met me, he said, you laugh at anything and you enjoy everything. And it was like he enjoyed the joy I had by playing with everything. I didn't have to have anything be one reason for having fun. Everything was funny. Everything was fun. Everything was an experience. It's pretty much like a one-year-old. Have you ever seen a newborn? Not so much a newborn, but a one-year-old. And everything is fascinating. They want to touch everything. They want to experience everything. They want to laugh at everything. Every noise, every sound is funny. My husband said to me the other day, "Oh, you're just like having a one-year-old."
Yeah.
And that isn't necessarily fun for everybody to have a one-year-old always looking and laughing, or a two-year-old asking why and driving you nuts. But how lively are they at that age? And how much movement is going on?
Well, they don't have a judgment about anything, and everything is fun and light, and what can we do with this? And their imagination goes wild, and I love when I see, I guess, be made wrong, because I would get down on the floor with the kids, or we'd be out playing, or we'd be at the store, and, you know, we'd be doing a scene or something, and I'd be running around with a cape on my shoulders, and women would look at me like, "What is wrong with you?" And my kids would be just rolling on the floor laughing, and I'm like, "Wow, you don't play with your kids like this?" And then for a long time, I thought I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is that, all that wrongness? What would you be willing to change that, Lynn?
Oh, sure.
So how do we do that? You know, it's like if you've made yourself wrong or been made wrong, a lot of us feel like we've been made wrong for being or choosing or doing things. Like you could probably right now, you've probably got a list of things of all the times that you've been made wrong, always told you did the wrong thing. Whose point of view was it that it was wrong in the first place?
It wasn't yours.
No, it wasn't yours. It was somebody else's. So how much of the wrongness that you've been trying to make right and true as yours, that truly isn't, do you have creating your life in the sadness or the seriousness it currently is? Now, please know your brain probably won't be able to track this, or your mind won't be able to map this, but your energy will. It's like a map. So everywhere that you have made all the wrongnesses that you have been told or made, that you have been trying to make right, that are keeping you stuck, will you give them up now?
Yes.
Thank you, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyond. Because they're just someone else's point of view that they judged, that's creating your point of view about you. So when you're willing to let go of someone else's point of view that's been, you've been judged with or by, and you've been hanging on to that, when you let go of those points of view, you can have a sense of peace and ease. So all the points of view that you've had that aren't true for you, creating the limitation in your life or your living or your body at this time that you're willing to let go of, will you let go of all of those now as well?
Yes.
Thank you, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyond. And what have you made so right? How many of you have worked, Lynn, how hard have you worked to get things right?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Worn
yourself out, okay. So in getting everything right, by whose standard or whose scale of judgment or point of view have you been basing that on?
My parents.
Yeah.
And my sister and my brothers.
Yeah. And everybody, and they all had the same point of view, huh?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm, they did. When was I gonna grow up and get a real job like them? When was I going to do this? When was I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And it just pushed me away further and further and further. And now I'm here, they're there, and I'm happy.
Okay. Does everybody else believe that?
Well, they don't, you know.
No. You notice how you had to sing yourself a story?
Yeah.
You had to go through, well, this is how it is. Did it make you feel happy? Oh, I didn't feel that.
Okay. I don't like going through those stories anymore. They don't bring up anything but they used to bring up a lot of sadness. Now it's more of what could have been, maybe.
I
don't know.
It was really funny. At the end of the statement, you said, "But I'm happy," and I'm like, "You're right." Did anybody else get that? Or
yeah. And you know, I truly am. I love what I do. I love where I live. I love being married to the man I'm married to. And I have a ton of fun every single day.
Okay. So what is it that doesn't allow you to enjoy, truly enjoy, the happiness of those things that you bought from your parents, your sister, your brother, and all the wrongness that you reacted to? I gave the answer a little bit. Because as much as you're happy with the way you have things, the energy wasn't so. Did you get that? It was different.
Yes.
So how much have you made wrong about yourself by trying to be right based on the points of view from other people? And how much of that did you resist in order to not be wrong?
Well, I'll tell you, I have been wrong and resisted probably most of my life. You know?
Yeah. And whenever you resist being wrong, you have to fight to be right. So not only do you get to resist being wrong and therefore keep believing that you're wrong, because whenever you resist something, it persists. So not only do you have all the wrongness that you resisted locked up in your life and living, you then try really, really hard, fight to be right in your own way, in your own life. And how much energy and force does it take for that?
A lot. You're always trying to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Always.
Always trying to prove yourself. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. How much energy does it take to prove that you're right when the people who are judging you are saying that you're wrong? Is anybody else feeling tired right now?
Yeah. It makes your eyes heavy and I start yawning, and it's just not fun.
Would you like a different possibility?
You betcha. And I know you're going to give us one because you are so good at that. If anything I have learned, you have so many tools in that tool box of yours. You never run out of them.
Hey, you got my naughty laugh and my wicked laugh.
I know, I got them all, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, baby. Here it comes.
You bet.
So everything that you have been making rightfully wrong, okay, that everything that you've been resisting about the wrongness that you've been making right by resisting it, and everything that you've been making wrongfully right because you've tried so hard to make yourself right that you've ended up getting made wrong even more, and everything that you have aligned and agreed with or resisted and reacted to that keeps any and all of this in existence, will you now revoke, recant, rescind, destroy, and uncreate all of it thoroughly and utterly?
You betcha.
Thank you. Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyond. And all the decisions, all the judgments, all the conclusions that you've come to, that you're wrong, you're always wrong, and you'll never be right, or that you're always right, you'll never be wrong, and you will fight to the death to prove that. All those conclusions, decisions, judgments, and computations of evidence that you've been proving ever since, around all of that, creating who you are, all the limitations in your life, will you now revoke, recant, rescind, destroy, and uncreate all of those?
You bet.
Thank you. Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyond. And if I haven't made your head spin yet, let's make it spin a little more. Everything is the opposite of what it appears
oh
to be.
Oh, my Lord.
Nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be, and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be, and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. And everything is the opposite of what it appears to be, and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. And everything is the opposite of what it appears to be, and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. If there's nothing else to laugh at, it's just if nothing of that made sense, that's funny.
I know. That,
if it didn't,
that twirls my head so fast.
I love that, though. I love it.
I know. I love that one. That one gets me out of trouble every time when I'm doing a spin around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I
that
just stop and go, oh, wait a minute. And then I start in and then... then I'm sitting there twirling around like a dervish, and everything's changing.
Hey, 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 hey. That's what we're talking about. That's the healing energy of laughter, and that's the way you can do that with the clearings as well. If you find yourself getting too stuck in the seriousness of everything around you, if you do everything is the opposite of what it appears to be and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be, 3 to 5 times, it will shift the energy.
Yep.
And as well as if you're stuck in the seriousness of your life, you know, it's like recently it was tax time and I had all this paperwork to do, so I was really focused and doing all my calculations and adding everything up, and I would have to take everything is the opposite of what it appears to be and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be breaks, because I would get so focused and so worked up that I would just
lock it right in.
Yeah, and my body would start to get stressed. Because it's like I'm always following the energy, so doing figures and details sometimes, and you calculate it and you get a different figure, so you have to do it again. How does it get any better than that? Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be, and nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. It may seem like it's going to disrupt the energy, and it is. And it would
That's
clear
what
my
you
head.
Want.
Exactly. It allows you to get stuck out of trying to get it right and judging yourself for being wrong, and gives you the space to have a different possibility show up. And it just changes the energy, similar to laughter. Okay? So how does it get any better than that, and what else is possible? And what that energy that I just described to you all about right and wrong, there's a wonderful process that you can do, and if you're using some of the tools on these radio shows to put into use in your life, you can run this one like 30 times a day for 30 days to give you the freedom of trying to be right and always making and judging yourself wrong. And it's really wonderful, and I think you've used it, Lynn, so you may be able to tell us how it felt for you. So let me just say it once and see how that energy feels, and then you'll be able to listen again to take the words down, and then we'll talk about it. How's that sound, Lynn?
Okay.
What energy, space, and
space
consciousness
and yep.
can
go.
you and your body be? Because I always include the body. So what energy, space, and consciousness can you and your body be that would allow you to be as rightfully wrong and as wrongfully right as you truly be? And everything that doesn't allow that, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod, all nine, shorts, boys and beyond. That wonderful clearing statement. Now, I'll say it one more time to move up some. Anybody, did you notice energy move, Lynn?
Yes, I did.
The beauty of this is you don't have to figure out how you made yourself wrong or how you're making yourself right. Anywhere that you're tripping yourself up, this process allows you to clear it. And just if you do it regularly, you can do it as a loop, like play the radio show over and over and it would do that, or just take the recording off and play it yourself. it'll give you a sense of relief, and you don't have to try and figure it all out. So one more time, what energy, space, and consciousness can you and your body be that would allow you to be as rightfully wrong and as wrongfully right as you truly be? And everything that doesn't allow that, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyond. And if you're wondering why I said everything that doesn't allow that, why would I want to be rightfully wrong and wrongfully right? That's not what we're actually asking. We're inviting you to let go of everywhere, or be an allowance of. Remember that wonderful allowance where you just observe everything fly by and you don't have to react to it? That's all we're doing with this process, so that you can start to let go of all those little hooks that have kept you trapped in the loop of making yourself wrong and having to fight to be right, which takes all that energy. And it'll eventually allow you to be an allowance of you if you continue to use it. So that's how the process works. How does it get any better than that, and what else is possible? How are you feeling now, Lynn?
I'm feeling great.
And does your head stop spinning too?
Yes, eventually.
I always
try to sit down when I'm doing that because for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to know what occurs when you do like that particular clearing? Or
sure.
A lot of the clearings. Okay. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be one, and the what energy, space, and consciousness one I just gave you are there to let you get out of judgment and conclusion and decision. And all of those things actually put a stop or solidify solidification in your life and in your reality. So when you remove a judgment, a conclusion, or a decision, you've taken yourself out of solidity and energy can move again.
Okay.
It's similar. So when we ask a question, how does it get any better than this? It takes you out of being the answer the same way that these clearings are taking you out of having to get things right. Now, does that mean you're not going to be correct?
No.
No. Because whenever you follow your knowing or it feels light to you, it's true for you and it's right for you. So whenever you are in allowance of that and you ask a question, or you're in that space of spinning, you can know what's true for you, and you're not at the effect of the judgments, decisions, or conclusions that you or someone else may have had about you that you've been reacting to. Did you like that?
Yes, I did.
This is like a replay radio show. Yay! How fun is that?
I'm very fortunate to have Audrey as a very good friend who, when I say rearranges my backside, she doesn't.
Hey, I ain't touching that thing. That's dangerous. It's loaded.
She does it with such care and love that. Most often when I come in, people ask me something, and I'm like, yeah, I was on the phone with Audrey. She kind of rearranged my backside, and they laugh. They know exactly what I mean. So,
hey, I'm not a big backside rearranger, honey. That's my new reputation, see?
Yes, it is. So I look forward to having my backside rearranged every once in a while. Even when I call and I know it's coming, I'm like, oh, God, this one's going to hurt.
Well, I usually have to get through a lot because you've been whacking it so much to even rearrange it.
I know, and I'm learning. I am learning just to give it up because I might as well.
I love it. There's nothing like a good fart, Lynn. Just blow it all out, let it all go.
I know. It's been my opening song all these years. What can I say?
Colon therapy jokes are about to arrive, everybody. Look out.
Oh, I have a million of them.
I was working the other day with the family, and they're lovely people, and their 14-year-old daughter is such a gift, been such a gift to my life. And I worked with her since she was in the womb, and I would do body work with her all the time. And when she actually came out of the womb, it took me 3 days by the time I got there. They kept saying, she hasn't really opened her eyes yet. We're really worried. And so they said, would you like to hold her? And I put her in my hand, and her eyes flung open, and she turned the energy on and started running it. And it was like, where have you been?
Like, I have been waiting for you.
Yeah. So she, I arrived down to do sessions with everybody, and she squeals, and she comes on up to the table, and she climbs all over everybody while she does the work. And this weekend she was up there, and I was working on her dad, and she stands on my legs, and she just plants her hands where my hands are, and then starts kissing him, puts the hands, and it was just so, you couldn't help but laugh, and he wasn't feeling well, so it was just beautiful. And so, anyway, the funny part was we were down in the kitchen, and I was getting water, and her mum said, oh, Audrey, watch it, she's behind you. And I said, oh, don't stand there, honey, that's loaded. I didn't think anything of it because I'm used to saying that. So I never stand behind my husband if I can avoid it because it is
no,
loaded.
No, never.
Yeah. And so you're talking about colon therapy and blowing it out. That's the, yes, now everybody gets it. Blowing
yep.
it out. Just
blowing it out, you know.
I blow it out one way and Lynn blows it out another.
You bet.
That was a good
I have my own way that I have perfected right down to the nth degree in the last 25 years. Yes.
Oh, and I love how there is no smell involved with you, Lynn. That's
no, there
that.
Isn't. No smell allowed. I have rules when people get on the table. They know that when they start talking, all this stuff just starts releasing. So the rule is you wait till I get you hooked up, and then you talk. You talk before I hook you up, you're in trouble.
Just let it blow, Lynn. Let
yep.
it blow.
So
that's the same whenever I call you and you've been whacking yourself a good deal. When you start to talk, the energy starts to move, and then you ask a question and pop and pop the energy and laugh your way to freedom.
Yes.
How does it get any better than that? What else is possible?
People get themselves into situations, you know, where one person is ill and the other person is not, and it tends to bring the well person down. I don't know if they're trying to just match the energy or if they're taking on all their stuff without knowing how to release it. And sometimes just laughing about something will just clear it. And the person that's sick really does need or like to hear lots of laughter. I think it does their soul good to know that there's laughter in the room and everybody's happy and, you know, at least
yeah.
from my point of view, I think.
Oh, yeah. Even when a person doesn't seem like they're present, like my husband's grandfather was really ill and had a stroke, and then he looked like he had dementia or the early onset of Alzheimer's after it, and he would fade away. And we would get a call from his mother saying, can you guys come over? He's not responding. And we would walk in, and we would do slapstick.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he would just start to laugh, even with his eyes closed. He could energetically perceive us being slapstick or being silly. And my husband would say something funny to me, and I would act shocked, and he would start laughing. And it would be the laughter would bring him closer and more present to his body.
Yes.
So whenever they couldn't get him to be responsive, they'd just call us to come over there, and we would just start laughing. Or one of his favorite lines, which we'd walk in and we'd say, well, I had a... Anyway, that's TMI. It was a joke because my Australian accent was much broader when we were first here and when I was first here. So the two words that they taught me, one of them was fart. I had to practice by saying fart so that I'd learned to write round my R's. And the reason we did that was because his grandfather couldn't understand a word that I said.
Sometimes that still happens, honey, when I say, what are you saying to me?
Well, then I have to do my pronunciation of fart.
Okay, yes.
Fart. And so we would walk in and I'd say, Grandpa, did you fart? And that was it. He would start laughing. And it was my homework. That's what I was supposed to do, to round my R's. So how does it get any better than that? So everything that brought up for everybody and anybody.
I know people have so much on that word. So much.
And it's just a word. And
it's
no
just
one on the
a word.
Doesn't do it. But it's highly consequential to say that word. With serious consequences for talking about fart on the radio and anywhere else.
Or
anywhere. And please don't do it.
No,
it would be terrible and bad.
Yes, very bad. Very, very bad.
So anything that this has brought up, all the decisions.
Or pushed out.
That's actually another way to move energy is like you say something and it brings up all the judgments for people. And I haven't quit saying fart. I'm still saying fart. And it's really funny. And some people might hang up. Other people might go, why is she saying fart so much? Because it's like until you let go of the judgment, a fart is just a fart until you judge it.
And they have a song. No, wait a minute. Something is just something. It was a song like that.
I have not heard that. Maybe we're making
it. It doesn't center around farts. It's, you know, something is just something. Love is just love or something. Somebody help me.
I have no clue, honey. We're talking
name
about
name that
farts
tune
right
or
now.
Something.
I'm single focused right now. The
yes.
colon therapist
yes.
talking about farts. I mean, hello. We could be talking about poop.
No,
we're not going to go there. It's too late in the show now. We have
to start. So, and we got to find out what you're doing out there in Santa Barbara.
Well, hang on a minute. Let me clear all the pooping,
farting
judgments. So just quickly. So all the judgments, decisions, conclusions, and computations, everything that brought up for you all, will you let it all go like a lovely, smelly, swift breeze, petunias, daffodils, roses, there we go. And let go of anything that's stopping you from having the laughter, the joy, the peace, and the ease. And on that note, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds, we're going to be having a bars class out here on the 5th of May.
Me too.
Yay, we're having dual bars.
Yes.
5th of May, if you'd like to come out and learn the technique, it is phenomenal. It's really easy. It'll blow stuff out quickly and relaxingly and beautifully. And once you learn how to do it, you can actually attend trade nights or bars gifting and receiving nights in your area or create one for yourself so that you can get your bars run and other people can share in the experience. So please check us out on the website if you want to come and do one of the bars. There's also a big event happening here on the 11th of May.
Oh, yeah, that hottie's in Marina Del Rey, isn't he?
Yeah, Dr. Dane is going to be doing a 2.5-day. So it's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday class. It's the first of its kind in America. Be you and change the world. I know Gandhi was one that said it. However, Dane's being the space of Be You Change the World, and he's one of the co-creators with Gary and Access now. So it truly is a wonderful experience. If you feel like it, fly into Los Angeles Airport. Marina Del Rey is really close there, and it's beautiful. And it's a beautiful time of year to come and play. So there's so much more. So please, if you're interested in doing bars, come and play with us. You want to come and see Dane, that's a fun thing to do as well. Dr. Dane is an incredible dandelion. The dandelion is one of the logos of Access. And the reason Gary uses the dandelion for all these years is that when you blow it, it spreads the seeds everywhere of consciousness. And it's so useful. And it's just a common weed. So even if you think you're a common weed, you yourself
are still beautiful.
You're still beautiful, useful.
Do you realize all the weeds that grow on the side of the road that people think are just weeds, they are life-saving herbals.
Yeah.
And
oh,
people
yeah.
just don't even look at them. And we will drive and get so excited to see all the burdock and the foxglove, which is digitalis. And they just grow on the sides of the road, and people cut them down and don't think twice about them.
Yes. There's a nursery out here in Santa Barbara as well that has all these wonderful areas particularly dedicated to, like, tropical flowers and natives, etc. And there's a whole section that's all weeds. And on their tour, they said that the weeds are actually clearing the catchment. They're clearing the runoff from the hill.
Yeah.
And they're so wonderful, they make the weeds part of the tour as well. And I cried when I heard that. I'm like, thank you, nature, for taking care of us.
Nature takes care of us all the time. We just have to get out of the way. And on another show, I'll explain how these very weeds started a whole cancer prevention thing back in the 1930s that really worked. And we'll save that for another radio show, because it is an outstanding story, and the clinic is still going strong in Tijuana, Mexico. That's where they had to go.
Are we going to have a radio show on plants? I'm so excited about that. That works.
Yeah, Sagar can come on. I mean, he is the plant expert also, and we can match stories about the herbal plants. And this one is such a unique story because it has a horse in it and how smart this horse was.
And I get to talk about nature and how it can contribute to you and your body.
You bet. I think maybe we can do that next week. Whoa.
Maybe. How does it
maybe.
Woohoo. What else is possible?
We're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, my friends out there in beautiful everywhere land, we're so happy you could join us and laugh with us today. I hope that you get a sense of peace and ease with laughter. And please know that you can ask anytime, what will it take to shift this to laughter? Or what would be funny for you today to enjoy? You know, and if you look outside in nature, it's always got something to laugh at, look at, and release. So enjoy your week, because it's nearly time for us to finish, isn't it, Lynn?
Yeah, just about. And I'll see those that are coming on Saturday. It is so refreshing when people call me and say, can you have a class? We got all these people that want this class. I didn't go to them. They came to me. How does it
Yay.
Get any better than that? And I just opened up the day and said, sure, we can have it this day. And they're like, yeah, that works for us.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Creative. Yay!
Put the right energy out, and they shall come. You know, field of dreams. Build the field, and they shall come.
Woohoo! How does it get any better than that? Woohoo! So, yes, please come and join us May the 5th, Santa Barbara, California, or
North Kansas City, Missouri.
There you go. I got my north in the wrong way. How does it get any better than that? And whatever you do, please take a moment to laugh. And if you can't find something to laugh at,
the universe will give you something. It always will. Really.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty to look at. And one of the things that's really lovely to do, if you can't find something to laugh at, look at something magical happening out there in the world. Look at a sunset. Look at a hill. Look at something else. Okay.
And on that note,
bye, everybody.
Doug or Don, whoever is on the board today, I can't remember, he's going to take us out.